Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone. So glad that you could join us today. As you all know, we are going into our Overcomers month, of the second month of our Overcomers testimony. And today we're going to have a special guest, and her name is Ms. Veronica Outlaw. And she's going to be talking about and giving her testimony about how she overcame domestic violence, how she overcame being the pressure of being a single mother, and relationship problems and issues, and how she became an overcomer with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk today with her about rejection to rejoice. And I'm LaShonda Williams. I'll be your host today. Our special guest is Ms. Veronica Outlaw. How are you doing today, Ms. Veronica?
I am amazing. How are you doing?
I am doing amazing as well. Thanks for asking. So, Ms. Veronica, today you're giving your testimony about how you became an overcomer from rejection to rejoicing. If you wouldn't mind, could you start us off with telling us first a little bit about yourself and who you are?
Absolutely. So, again, my name is Veronica Outlaw. I am a single, empty nester. I have one daughter who is 23 years old now. She's serving in the U.S. Air Force. I am also a grandmother of a 2.5-year-old grandson. By profession, I am an educator and an online instructional designer in higher ed. And by passion, I'm a newly published author of my own book. I have been a part of 2 anthologies, and I'm a part of 2 in progress. I am a lover of travel. I'm a world traveler, so I became an entrepreneur in travel, and I'm also an entrepreneur in health and wellness. And recently, I guess it was back in October, November, I created and produced my own podcast, the I Am Transformed Show. So I'm 50 years old, trying to start life over my way, God's way. And in a nutshell, that's who I am.
Well, we certainly thank God for that. Phenomenal woman, amazing woman of God. And we thank God for all of those blessings and accomplishments that he has blessed you to achieve. And we're going to start the interview off today. As I was pondering on your interview and looking at your life story, I noticed one of the first things that stuck out to me about you was you started your testimony off with you didn't know your value and your worth. And that's very important in life. And when we don't know our value and worth, we will settle for anything. We will settle for anybody. And it will cause all types of trauma and different things to happen in our life because we don't know our value and our worth. So could you ponder on that a little bit to how you got to the point of you realizing that you did not value and know your self-worth?
Yes, indeed. I have been just really thinking about this for years now, trying to figure out the root of it, because if you know anything about issues that you're having, if you don't get to the root of a thing, you can't fix that thing. And as far back as I can remember, my very first boyfriend, and I guess I was in middle school, maybe right before high school, I don't remember having a self-esteem issue before that, and so that's why I bring this particular relationship up. It's because I found out somewhere along the way in that relationship that I was being cheated on. And so right away in my mind, I was questioning whether or not I was enough, that he would not have done that if I was enough. And so that stuck with me as for as long as I can remember. Now, I did grow up in a strict upbringing, so I did not have the opportunity to date. I wasn't allowed to date. And so, but I had strong work ethic and strong ethics in education. But I didn't have, if you want to call it street smarts, I didn't have that experience with relationships and know how to handle them. So when I turned 18 years old, I had the opportunity to go back to Chicago for the summer. It was just supposed to be for the summer. And it turned out to be an 8-year later journey. So I left home. I was full of hope. I was full of potential. I was always at the top of my class. So professionally and as a student, I was thriving, but I really didn't have a sense of who I was. So when I left home, I was naive and I was inexperienced, and I had this baggage that I didn't know at the time of, you know, lack of self-worth and value. And so because I didn't have that, when I started to date as an adult, the dysfunction in some of these relationships were, I guess I was immune to them. And so I just, you know, day by day, going by what I had seen growing up and what I knew at that point. And over the years, over different relationships, that low self-esteem just kept getting beat down in the ground to the point where I was depleted. And so now here I am in my 50s trying to start life over. Knowing who I am in Christ now, whose I am, just I'm developing that now over the past few years, just now in my late 40s, now 50, developing that.
Oh, wow, that's something. And a lot of us, you know, a lot of ladies, we grow up like that, you know, and that causes us when we don't know our worth and our value. And we spend half of our lives trying to figure that out. And it's when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ that we know that he told us that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we're all created as beautiful creatures and beautiful beings, just the way God, you know, desired for us to be. And we have to love ourselves. We have to love ourselves enough. And I'm not talking about to the point of loving yourself as in prideful, but the Bible tells us that we have to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So we have to first have a love for ourselves and be grateful and thankful and know our self-worth and our value. And we are more precious than rubies. And so, and as I began to read on your testimony, I found out that your very first marriage that you mentioned that you had married a narcissist.
Right.
And can you elaborate to us what is a narcissist and let us know how long did it take you to realize that this man that you had married, that he was a narcissist?
So I did not even hear the word narcissist until maybe a couple of so years ago. So at the time when I met my ex-husband, I was 24 or so years old. Somewhere between 22 and 25 is when we had a relationship. And so, but at that time, I didn't know what a narcissist was, didn't even hear the term until, like I said, a couple of two, three or so years ago. And by definition, it's a person who is very controlling, they're vain, they have admiration in only themselves, their attributes, their self-image, and they lack empathy. So they don't have concern for anybody else but themselves. And by definition, he fit that mold. He was very prideful. He was a showboat. So it was nothing for him to go out and buy the most expensive pair of shoes, for example, and then everybody in the world had to know about it. He was very controlling. The abuse was – we dated for about – I want to say it was almost 2 years before we got married. And in this relationship, you have to understand, I'm coming from having not dated while I was at home to in a full-blown relationship with an older guy who wined and dined me. He showered me with gifts. He showered me with attention. And I put validation in that attention, which I thought meant that he loved me. And so as long as he was around showering me with the company, the attention, the gifts, and all of that, I thought he loved me. But hindsight, now knowing different things that I know about domestic violence, early on in the relationship, it was not physical. So I did not know I was still in an abusive relationship. His abuse was cutting me down with his words, belittling me in front of his children, isolating me from my family and friends, the control, nothing I did was good enough. So, for example, before meeting him, I was taking care of myself, had my own car, job, and money. Matter of fact, I was working two jobs, had no responsibilities, no kids at that time. So it was before him, it was nothing for me to pick up and say, I want to go to Mississippi and visit family, or I want to go and travel here or there to visit friends. And he never would tell me, no, you can't go. What he would do is plan a surprise trip. And then I would cancel my plans and go with him. So his control was very manipulative, to the point where a couple of years had passed, and I didn't even know that many of my friends that I was talking to at the time had moved away. So that's how isolated it became. The time went by so fast, you didn't even realize that that was happening. If I would cook something was too salty or it wasn't right, and I had to, cook it over. Just little stuff like that, I guess someone experienced in relationships would have saw that as a problem. Now, I knew that it didn't feel good, but in my mid-20s, I didn't define that as abuse. And so that carried on until one day we were out, and he literally, I think he felt me kind of slipping away, and he made a suggestion that we get married. I didn't even get a proper proposal. And I was over the moon and back by that. And so we did. We got married. We went to the courthouse and got married. Didn't even have a proper wedding. My wedding ring was purchased on my credit card. So that lets you know how dysfunctional this whole story is after the fact. And we get married at the courthouse, and his drinking increased. He had some friends to get out of jail, which I didn't know about beforehand. And he started hanging out with them at the casinos. And one night he went out and he spent, I don't remember the exact amount. It was well over $7,000 or $8,000, because that's what we had in our checking account at the time. And he spent all of that down to about the $15 that you could spend without closing the account. So overnight, he spent thousands of dollars at the casino and left us with nothing. I didn't find that out until one day I was paying bills, got down to my last check, and I needed to pay my car note. I go to the bank to get a money order to discover all the money was gone. And we had just gotten paid that Friday, and by that Saturday, the money was gone. I was furious, opened up a separate account, put my next check in there, and the next weekend when he found out my check wasn't in the bank, he came home sloppy drunk that night. He was furious. I think it was 2 o'clock or so in the morning. He kept going back and forth. We're married. We're supposed to be one. Where is the money? I need you to put the money back, because in the midst of this, I'm telling him I had closed the account. At that time, I had a potty mouth, so when he cursed, I cursed. I said 2 or 3 curse words. And he finally said, listen, are you going to close that account? And I said, no. And out of the blue, he just started weighing on me. And so that turned into a huge fight. I ended up with a black eye, a bloody nose, busted lip. I had a few bruises. I was sore because he was literally on top of me with his knees and my chest and stomach and things of that. And now before that, I always knew he carried a gun. He always had a gun. I never touched it. And it was always in the nightstand. The split second that I got a chance to get away, I jumped over the bed, go to the nightstand and get the gun, and it wasn't there. So immediately I was terrified, because now he sees I'm reaching for the gun. My life has flashed before my eyes. And he started running towards me, and in the midst of running towards me, he started to vomit because he was really drunk. And he was throwing up, threw up all over the wall and the floor, and that was my opportunity to leave the house. And I left the house with the intent of driving away, but his car was parked behind mine. I was too scared to go back in the house, didn't know whether or not he had come through or not. So I left the house on foot with socks on and this oversized T-shirt that I sleep in that was now torn from the neckline, full of blood, and just blessed that I was about a block or so away from the local police station. So I walked. It's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I walked to the police station. Walk in, I opened the door, and the policemen that were behind the counter, it was as if they saw a ghost because I came in. I didn't even grab a sweater or anything. And so with that, they took me back to the house to get some things, and we found out in that visit that the gun was actually in the trunk of his car. So I just thank God for being here today, because that whole situation could have went a whole nother way had the gun been there. Yes. I could have, you know, shot myself by mistake or killed him or who knows what could have happened. But that was the moment when I left. And I literally left, and the next day I was looking for attorneys with my face busted up filing for divorce.
Wow, Jesus. And it's very important, as I was listening to your testimony, a lot of times when we're out there as women, we're so vulnerable, we're so emotional, and we feel like we've just fallen in love, we ignore the red flag. Because
right.
even though they start to act this way, when they went from acting nice, sweet, and lovable and huggable, and all of a sudden one day they snappy, they angry, see, we just throw that to the side. But that's really a red flag. And we tend to
right.
go from relationship and then thinking, well, if I marry him, that'll change. You know, they may change. But
right.
when you take the vows and marry him, that person didn't change. And it may just actually bring that beast out of them. And then we really learn that person once we say, I do, because we've ignored the red flags and gotten out of the relationship before we said, I do. That's awesome how God, we thank God for your life and for bringing you through. And I pray
that's
that
right.
other women that hear this testimony know that it's not too late for you. If you hear yourself in Veronica's testimony, take this as a heed and a warning from God telling you that you deserve better and that he has better for you and that it's not
that's
too
right.
late for you to get out and walk away.
That's right.
Now,
and what I want to add to that is, you have to get rid of the things and the people in your life that are not of God, because he can't bless you with more until you get rid of what you're hanging on to.
Amen to that. Let them go. Let them go. And I had one other question that I wanted to ask before we wrap this up. I was also reading your testimony about how you suffered through different relationships, how you suffered through miscarriages. Can you expound a little bit on that and how that affected your life?
Yes. So the miscarriages happened in the second marriage. By this time, I'm divorced from the first. I meet another guy, end up pregnant, who's my daughter's father, and he basically abandoned us. He didn't come back around until she was about 6 years old. You know, he apologized then, wanted a relationship with her. And it took me a second, but I did allow it. But I found out later he had a son that was about 3 years old at the time, and then my daughter was 6. So leading up to that, I ended up with the second guy that I married. Now, I won't take anything from him. He was a great guy. We both were just broken people at that season in our lives. He was coming out of a bad relationship, had just been divorced, had the whole baby mama drama thing going on, and just broken. And I was broken as well, because I had not received help from the trauma that had happened so many years prior. And so we were married about 3.5 years, I believe. But in the midst of that, we had 2 miscarriages. The first, I didn't know I was pregnant. And I kept going about my day. I was working. I was in school. I'm a new wife now, and I'm a mother. I had a lot of stressful things going on. And when I found out I was pregnant, you know, of course it was exciting. And I think I put a lot of stock into that baby thinking it would make things in the marriage better, and ended up losing that baby. We never had a conversation about the miscarriage. At that time, I said, okay, I really wanted the baby. I wanted to have a baby by my husband, even though we were not in the best place at the time. I guess I thought having a baby would make it better because he was an awesome father. He was like a dad to my daughter. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. the doctor told me what period of time to wait to have, to get pregnant again, and we did that. And the next miscarriage actually failed a few weeks earlier than the first one. And honestly, believe it or not, we never had a conversation with each other about either miscarriage. Hindsight, I think it really impacted him. He just never shared that with me. And because he never talked with me about it, I thought he didn't care. And so I carried that resentment for a long time, thinking he didn't love me. He didn't want the babies. There was so many things going on, so many assumptions made just because we didn't communicate. And so, the marriage didn't last long after that. And we divorced on good terms. He's a good guy. I won't take that from him. We just met at the wrong time. Two broken people can't make a whole marriage.
Amen. I'm so glad you said that, ladies. I hope you listened to that very well. Two broken mm-hmm. people, because that's why when things, trauma happen in our lives and things come up in our lives, we should not jump from one relationship to another, one marriage to another. We need to go through healing, counseling, deliverance, and allow ourselves to be healed and made whole. Then we can go into a marriage, and both people need to make sure that they're whole. A 50-50. That's a half and a half. It's 100-100. You both need to
That's
be whole
right.
in order when you get into a relationship, and then you go into grow into a marriage, both being whole, healed, and delivered. Veronica,
right.
this was such a blessing, and it was such a powerful testimony, and I pray that the listeners, the women that hear this testimony, that they would take heed to know that God has no respect of person, and if he brought you out, then he can bring them out. And that also
right.
that they need to not ignore the red flags in a relationship and thinking getting married is going to change him or change the relationship. You need to see the red flags for what they are and be like, you know what? I need to put a stop on this. I need to pause. And don't think that you can change a man. Please don't think that.
Right.
And take your time.
Right.
Pray. Seek the face of God and make sure this is God's will and this is the person that God has for you. So and be made whole before you go into a marriage or a relationship. Veronica, before we end the broadcast, can you tell the listeners how they make it contact you if they have any questions, concerns, comments, or if they also would like to hear your broadcast?
Absolutely. Well, I'm on Facebook as Veronica Outlaw, so you can inbox me. You can email me at drveronicaoutlaw@gmail.com. I do also have a website, so you can see a little bit of my story and or my recent published book, and that's at www.drveronicaoutlaw.com. And I would love to collaborate with anyone. My podcast is called I Am Transformed Show. That's also a page on Facebook. You can find me on Anchor, Spotify, and YouTube. And I do also interviews, and I'm starting to do solo sessions now. So if you have a powerful testimony and want to share it with the world, I would be happy to interview you. And the last thing I want to say for the ladies about the red flags is, don't be in such a hurry for the sake of love. Make sure you're loving yourself first. Make sure you know what love is and what that looks like for you, and that you're not seeking love for validation, and that a man's actions and his words will always align. It won't be some timing. And if you have any doubt, always refer back to the Word of God. Galatians 5 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's love, yes, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if the actions and the words of this man is not aligning with the Word of God, that's your answer right there. Don't try to fix a man.
Very good. Very awesome. And I thank you so much today, Ms. Veronica Outlaw, for sharing your testimony with us. And for those of you all that are listening in today, I thank you for joining us and giving us your ear and your time. And like I say, I'm LaShonda Wiz. I'm your host. I'm also a relationship and a sexual abuse coach. So for any of you all that would may want to speak with me or may want to set up a session or anything, you can reach me on Facebook under LaShonda Williams, or you could email me at LaShonda Williams, LaShanda, 1010 at AOL.com. And I appreciate you all, and I thank you all, and I pray that something that Dr. Veronica said today, that you take heed to it, that you know, ladies, that you are loved by God, and that you don't have to settle. You don't have to allow a man to abuse you and mistreat you, because God has a man out there that will love you, honor you, cherish you, and respect you as the woman of God that God has created you to be. You all have a blessed and rest of the prosperous day. Thank you, Ms. Veronica, for joining us.
Thank you. It was an honor and a pleasure.